Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of the Dynasty Tradecast, sponsored this week by MyFFPC.com. As always, I'm your host, Eric Bertzloff, better known on Twitter as @DynastyTrades, joined by Nathan and Dan. Yes, wait for it, Nathan and Dan. What's up, both of you guys?
We are here. We are excited. You know what I'm most excited for, though, is that Nathan is here and we can actually hear him. And it's glorious, and he sounds so good.
I haven't been this excited for a nice trade cast probably ever. Like, I mean, the vindication to the haters and losers I will get, and I'm sure that you guys can talk about it a little bit more in depth, but we had some good turn of fortune with my computer, which stopped working with Google Hangouts, and then it restarted working with Google Hangouts. And Dan, what else happened to help my audio on the nice trade cast?
So it started to get to the point where I was really feeling awful about the whole situation, and I wanted to do something nice. You know, I had a decent year in fantasy last year, so I figured why not throw a little bit towards my good friend, Mr. Powell. So what I did is I sent out a message to our OG listener league, and I'd already ordered the microphone, but I wanted to get our listener league involved if they wanted to help out. So with the help of our great listener league and Mr. Bertzloff over here, we pieced together some cash and got Nathan a brand new Yeti to replace his old one that his we don't want to name names, but
I'll do it. His roommate pawned it off is what I think happened. I'll do it. Come at me.
He went and saw Rick Harrison at the Pawn Stars store and sold his Yeti microphone that was autographed by Nathan, which is why it carried so much value. No, we wanted to do something good for Nathan because he didn't deserve all the hate that was happening. So I'm almost as excited as Nathan is, but the look on his face when we logged in and we could hear him, it was like he had just met Jesus and like it was good to go.
Yeah, this is. I would just like to say that I did it mostly so the reviews would improve. Like Nathan, it just doesn't matter to me about Nathan, to be honest with you. Okay, on that note,
difference between us.
On that note, let's quickly do the rundown. Yeah, you're a considerate human being. I'm getting by. Is pretty much what's happening. Okay, so this show we are going to talk about some of the actual free agency moves that we alluded to last week. So we hit the nail on the head on a couple of them. Really whiffed on a couple. So we'll kind of talk about. Revisit that since who wants to talk about anything else really. And then we will go through and do a fun accent edition of the Dynasty Courtroom. So that will be fun at the tail end. So getting into that, I do want to remind the listeners that you can get a listeners only 30% discount to RotoViz NFL Pass through the NFL podcast homepage. That's rotoviz.com/podcast. Your subscription gives you unlimited access to all of our NFL content, and it also helps support the pod. So you can contact us via email as always, rotovizradio@gmail.com, or as always, slide into those DMs @rotovizradio. And that's a real at, as always, unlike me hosting the show, Dan. So that's
true. That's okay. True.
Let's, you know what, I'm just going to say screw it. I'm going to throw to Nathan to actually open up a bit because I think his audio is going to work.
Alrighty, let's talk some big free agency moves. And for those that didn't notice, we released a podcast on Thursday and we recorded on Monday before free agency. So that was really awesome last week, Eric. Just, you know, I thought I'd throw a jab at you for once.
Oh, cool. Well, at least I showed up, Nathan.
But yes, let's talk about moves that were made last week. The big one that pretty much people were anticipating probably since like the NFC Championship game, Kirk Cousins to the Minnesota Vikings. He joins the team with Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen, Kyle Rudolph, Dalvin Cook and company. A very young and explosive offense.
Latavius Kirk Cousins.
Murray. No, that's not a thing. Daniel, what are your instant thoughts on Kirk Cousins as an asset now in Minnesota?
Well, it seemed inevitable that he was going there. You know, the Jaguars, Eric.
Get it right or pay the price.
Jaguars. They were in the conversation for a little while, but I don't think they were ever really an actual suitor. Then you have, you know, the Denver Broncos, who we didn't go with. But the Vikings, that's ideal landing spot. You've got great assets around. You've got a great defense that's going to help out. And my original knee-jerk reaction was, wow, this is great for everyone. This is a big boost for Kirk. This is a big boost for all of, you know, the wide receivers, tight ends, blah, blah, blah. But after thinking about it just a tiny little bit, Kirk kind of historically a slow starter. So I think the big bumps are going to be with the running backs, definitely Dalvin Cook. And he's kind of already been propped up a little bit as it is. So I think his current ranking or ADP will be a little more justified now. I don't think Latavius Murray is even remotely relevant unless Cook goes down again. But I think Rudolph, more than the wide receivers, will benefit from this, only because we know that that the new offensive coordinator loves himself some tight ends. DeFilippo, is that even how it's pronounced? Probably. That's kind of his go-to. So I think we'll see a big boost with running back. I think they'll add a tight end just to kind of help Rudolph a little bit. But I think Rudolph and the running backs, the wide receivers are still going to get theirs. I think they're still very well in play for like a 900-yard floor with 6-8 touchdowns. I think that's a solid floor that you can build on. Diggs with a huge ceiling. Thielen, I think, is more of a floor play as it is, but both extremely valuable. I think I'm kind of all in on this whole offense at this point, but maybe just slightly lower on Kirk than the community.
Yeah, I love it. As a member of the Stefon Diggs fan club and his number one enthusiast, yep. I am very excited about him having a quarterback to finally hit him while he's actually open all the time. So that will be great. I don't really have a whole lot to add to what you said, Dan. I think you're pretty much spot on. I think his value, everybody's going to freak out right now and elevate him to the quarterback 5, which we kind of talked about last week. So I'm not sure my opinions change. I think that that's kind of where I stand. So I'll go ahead and just kick to Nathan and let him give his take here.
Yeah, I'm bored with Dan that I pretty much think it's a very good boost for all the weapons in that offense. But just to be the wet blanket of the conversation, I will say that there is the risk of Kirk Cousins losing the volume that he had in Washington. Much of his production, maybe because he didn't really have great weapons, he had Jordan Reed, Pierre Garçon, DeSean Jackson a few years ago. I think that most of his production ended up being volume-based where, you know, he's getting 30, 35 passes per game. And when he joins a team like the Vikings, who probably won't need to pass it that much, maybe go down to the 20 to 25 times a game. Plus, they have Dalvin Cook, who can carry the load as a running back. I think there will be definitely a decrease in passing yards, but that might just get offset by a passing touchdowns, which Evan Silva alluded to a few weeks ago.
Yeah, the explosiveness in the weapons is definitely going to prop up the touchdown totals. I think we'll see something in that high 20s, low 30s for sure. Which might seem like a little bit of a leap, but I honestly think with the playmakers, I that's tough to not hit, even if he is only throwing it that few times.
Do we? Yeah, I mean, so I think Nathan hit it, but so we worry that they're playing ahead too often.
Yeah, and they will be. The defense is so good, and I mean, the offense is going to hold its own, and they're going to be able to ground and pound even when Murray comes in and spells Cook. There's a threat for Murray to take it to the house. He's got that ability. He's shown it in the last couple of years. So I think that team is going to be almost always ahead. You know, maybe not in the first week when they have to play the Eagles, but outside of that, I think they have a good chance at maybe struggling with the passing game because they don't really need it.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and move on. The next move we're going to talk about is one we didn't touch on last week, and that is Eric Ebron ended up going to the Colts. So I guess what is our take here as far as impact? I think the player that it directly impacts is Jack Doyle. Then the other question is, does it help whoever the quarterback is, which we don't know who it is at the moment. But I guess I'll throw it to Nathan first. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't think it's a boost to Brissett or Luck, whoever's under center. I don't think Ebron's the type of playmaker where he's going to be boosting up his quarterback play.
What about their quarterback total, though? Because he is an end zone weapon if he actually catches the ball.
I don't think he's that much better of a weapon than Jack Doyle is. I think that from a fantasy perspective, what this does, Ebron was the type of guy that you could, you know, rely on as like in that tight end 12 to 15 type range on a weekly basis when he got his targets. Now I think that it ends up being Doyle and him splitting targets at the tight end position, maybe Ebron getting more of the red zone work and Doyle getting more of the you know, between the 20s work. So I think neither of them ended up being like super fantasy relevant. Doyle definitely loses. He was getting funneled with targets by Brissett and Luck, you know, in 2016. So I think that Doyle's, you know, just straight volume fantasy value definitely decreases here with the sighting of Ebron, and more so just I'm fading both in it, like a, from a redraft type perspective.
So yeah, okay. I think both are kind of in that low, you know, the ceiling's probably like low tight end one. I think this kind of more points to the Colts obviously not being comfortable with what they have at wide receiver and realizing that this wide receiver class isn't super great. They know that they have T.Y. Hilton, but beyond that, there's nothing. So I think what we're going to see with Indy, and I don't love speculating, but his strengths going back to college were when he was split out and constantly being a mismatch. So I think we'll see more of Doyle in line, and we'll see Ebron out, you know, actually playing kind of a receiver role opposite of T.Y. Hilton, and then whatever else they bring, I'm guessing another speed option for the other actual wide receiver position. But I think that all makes sense because that gives you three levels that whoever it is, Brissett or Luck, can hit and be consistent with. Having two nice tight ends, honestly, because Doyle's kind of proven himself, and we all still, well, most people still believe in Eric Ebron. I don't think he got a great, you know, a really great shot in Detroit. They kind of took away the red zone work, and you know, he couldn't stay healthy, so that's a little bit on him as well. But you know, having Anquan Boldin there for what would have been his breakout year had he gotten those red zone targets, I think we would be having a different conversation. I just don't think he got a fair shot in Detroit.
You know, I actually, Ebron, I think this might be, I think this is his next to last stop. And the deal he signed wasn't particularly lucrative. I think it was like up to $15 million without, I don't know what the guarantees on it were. But, I mean, I think there's a chance the Colts are just kind of throwing gum at a wall, hoping it sticks. And I mean, a guy like Ebron has a lot of upside, but he really did flounder in Detroit. So, I don't know. This doesn't change Ebron's valuation. If anything, it slightly lowers it for me. So, I mean, his valuation previously was what, a late second, maybe an early third in just regular tight end leagues?
Yeah, about that. So, and I think even in tight end premium, he doesn't go higher than like the 207.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. So, I mean, his valuation probably is now solidly a third for me. I think Jack Doyle's proven to be productive, as ridiculous as that sounds. Everybody made all the Jack Doyle jokes when he came onto the scene, but he's been fine. He's basically Cameron Brait in his productivity, and he just shows up week in, week out, isn't sexy about it, but does it. So, you know, it does hurt Doyle's value because I think he was pretty much cemented as a late tight end one. And now I agree with Dan that his ceiling's now a tight end one. But, you know, I don't know. I'm not sure Ebron even impacts the situation at all. So just maybe that's kind of hot takey.
I don't think it's hot take. I think that it's kind of a lateral move for everybody only because of what I believe they'll do with him. And, you know, if he's getting 80 to 110 targets, let's say, I think he's going to be right on par with kind of what he's done. So I don't see really an opportunity for an incredible boost unless they physically use him as a wide receiver, but he's not that type of athlete at this point, I don't believe, struggling with health and whatnot. Maybe coming out of college, he could have played that role a little bit better, but right now I think they'll just kind of split him out a little bit and they'll work both tight ends and see if they can get Hilton on a free release deep or something.
Yeah, and I agree. Okay, so let's move on to our next free agent as to not spend too much time on what was it? Droptimus Prime is what I heard Eric Ebron called the other day.
Droptimus Prime.
Yeah, you have Megatron and Droptimus Prime.
That's good.
All right. Then that is A-Rob to the Bears, a guy that I think all three of us thinks too low right now, if I recall correctly. His valuation on the Jags is, we all hate Blake Bortles too, so that's probably not surprising that we think he's so much better than he is. So, Trubisky finally gets his weapon, I guess. So what is our take? Because really, as far as weapons go, that's about the only weapon on the team. So I guess let's talk about A-Rob and what does his valuation do in Dynasty and what's our take on the move?
I'll start us off. And I think that from a strict like offense perspective and the targets he'll get, I don't think it's a huge improvement over Jacksonville, more so just the fact that it's a team that has shown, okay, they believe in him by investing that sort of money in him. And they have a young quarterback who needs weapons. And so they added Allen Robinson as well as a guy we'll talk about later in Trey Burton. So I think that kind of sneakily, and you said they don't have anyone else really, because I mean Cameron Meredith might actually sign with the Colts because that was a rumor today that he's in town and he's a restricted free agent. So
yeah,
the Bears could match. But let's say Cameron Meredith leaves. I think that Allen Robinson is sneakily in the conversation for a guy who could lead the league in targets. He doesn't really profile as that type of wide receiver, but it's just that barren, that wide receiver core. And young quarterbacks tend to lean on, you know, their number one wide receiver, a guy that they can count on. So I think Trubisky, Trent tries to get a little bit more aggressive in year two and has a little bit more success now that he actually has an actual wide receiver on his team.
Well, I'd like to think that Nagy will kind of let that offense go a little bit, but I'm a little bit hesitant on the target share only because we don't know what the plan is. You know, we don't know anything from Nagy. We don't have anything really to go on outside of running back output. You know, most of the guys in KC are high efficiency, low target. You know, you're talking about Kelce, you're talking about Tyreek Hill. So I think maybe just pump the brakes a touch on the target thing. But it's definitely an upgrade just because it's no longer Jacksonville. And I think Chicago still has a decent way to go before they're really like a solid football team.
And the idea of the trailing will be a big thing for just garbage time TDs.
Right. But they, I mean, they've made leaps and bounds this offseason. The team's got a lot better, and it's going to get better through the draft as well. So I think they'll get better. But right now, I mean, you have maybe a slight improvement at quarterback and I guess just more functional brains calling plays. You know, I didn't trust Jacksonville. I didn't trust Blake Bortles. I'm not a big Trubisky guy, but I believe in Nagy. I think he's going to bring something that Jacksonville didn't have. And I do like Allen Robinson. I think he's a very good talent. I don't believe how some do that he's an elite talent. I still think he's got potential to be low end wide receiver one, but definitely high end wide receiver two, kind of in that Stephon Diggs range. I'm more than comfortable with him there, and I'm hoping we see some good stuff. And I hope they don't just hand it off to that turd Jordan Howard like 350 times, and then dump it off to Tariq Cohen another 120 times. That would be not great for any of my new Allen Robinson shares.
So let's talk about Allen Robinson. Are we all still buying Allen Robinson at his current valuation at like the end of the second round of startups?
Easily, yeah.
Yeah. I don't think it's caught up yet. I think he's going to start sneaking into that early second as we get going a little further and we see Chicago a little bit.
What about first round picks? Which pick are you giving for Allen Robinson? The 103? 102?
I mean, I'd give like the 104 and 108 easily.
Would you?
Yeah, I think it'd have to be 103 plus or 104 plus for sure. I don't know that I'd go as early as 102 just because I still think there's a high end level talent there that, and the unknown of both things kind of makes that like, well, maybe I just swap 102 straight, but 103 plus 104 plus, I think either way there, kind of like what Nathan said, 104 and 108 seems like a really good spot if you can get him there.
Okay, cool. Let's move on to, I think he was in the same wide receiver class, and that is Sammy Watkins goes to Kansas City. This was not rumored when we did the podcast last week, and I think Twitter went kind of into the Pat Mahomes is gonna feast mode once this came out.
I mean, it was trending that way anyways, right? It was... Everyone,
the Mahomes is going to feast has been on Twitter for some time, right?
Right. This is the second coming, and this
Tariq Hill's going to take over. It's going to be.
So I again still worry with the volume in KC. I you know, these guys aren't getting an immense amount of targets. There's a lot of talent there now. You have Travis Kelce, you have Tyreek Hill, you have Sammy Watkins, you have Kareem Hunt, you have Spencer Ware coming back, who is a legitimate running back. I'm not saying he's better than Kareem Hunt, but he's going to take touches.
That's a bad take, Dan.
No, he's good. They proved it a couple of years ago.
I'm with Dan too. He's a really good flyer, and like you can get him as like a 20th guy on your roster, and that's a really good value.
Absolutely great value. And he's going to get touches. I honestly believe that, especially with Andy Reid still there, because he is just a bonehead. But I think this one, unlike Kirk Cousins, is going to be more of a value to Mahomes, as stupid as that probably sounds, because we just said he's going, you know, everybody's talking about how way too good he's going to be. But now you have now you have to cover every single person, and that's always going to leave someone open because there's no weak spot there, assuming Sammy stays on the field. Because
or Kelce Andy Reid uses Sammy. I think that that's a super important part of this
question. Right, and that's what's another part that's scary. So will he be healthy, and will Reid use him? Because we haven't seen two bodies. Well, now we're going to need three people to succeed, plus the running backs. So I don't know that there's going to be a ton of volume to go around. That defense got laterally better, maybe slightly better. I don't know. They moved on from a couple of guys and moved off of Marcus Peters and brought in a different cornerback. So the defense may be on the field a little bit more, but I still don't know that that changes much because of how much they rely on the running game. I'd like to see them let Mahomes just loose and throw it 50 times a game, but I know that's not realistic.
So as a Sammy Watkins truther fan, whatever you want to call it, I am a bit hesitant to be as excited on this move as some of other Sammy fans. I think that if you got lost in the shuffle of a Gurley, Woods, Cooper Kupp offense, you could very easily get lost in the shuffle of a Kareem Hunt, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce offense. So I think that part of the reason the Rams let Sammy go is because, okay, we had this much success and we didn't really use him that much. And sure, Sammy's going to get the full offseason to learn the Kansas City playbook, and that might help him in that regard. But I think that, like with the Rams, there's a chance that Sammy just gets lost in the shuffle, ends up being not much more than a deep threat, which becomes an annoyance from a, you know, week-to-week fantasy perspective.
Do you think he maintains that red zone efficiency, though? Because he scored a lot of touchdowns last year. He was, like, top five or six or something like that in the league, which I just wouldn't have – I couldn't have even thought about that considering the number of targets he had, but – They used him correctly in the red zone, and I think that could end up being where some of his value comes from. As weird as that sounds, considering how great of a downfield threat he is and route runner and all of this and the other thing, if they use him in short spaces, I mean, that's just fine too, because you're making up for all of it. Obviously, touchdown has huge variance, but you know, if the upside's there, maybe he sticks with that value.
I mean, okay, so I'll give my take real quick, and then I'll ask you guys a question. So my take can basically be summed up in two words. It is Andy Reid. And that is, Andy Reid is an offensive mastermind, and he could totally blow up Sammy Watkins' value. Or absolutely. Andy Reid is terrifying because he randomly picks to just not put players in that should be in the game. And granted, that's largely towards running backs, but still mm-hmm. terrifying. So I don't know which direction to go, but I think this has to raise Sammy's value because it was so depressed. Because can Andy Reid use him any worse than what the Rams were using him in? I fail to believe that that's even possible. So I will ask you guys a question if you agree with what I just said, where is his value going to increase based off of this, or should his value increase? And if so, what to?
Well, Eric, what kind of in part of your question I disagree with. I don't think the Rams were using him incorrectly because they were having a high-powered offense that was scoring the most points in the league. And as sure. Dan said, he was highly efficient in the red zone. So I don't think that he was being used incorrectly.
Incorrectly for fantasy production is, I guess, what I'm meaning.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, certainly there's the value bump of, you know, the unknown, but I'm kind of in I'll believe it when I see it mode. I've kind of backed off buying Sammy just because I had so many shares. So we'll see how it goes early on in the season.
I'm not fading yet. I may start if it gets to go higher, but I don't know that I'm in the moving down zone either. I think I'm just kind of in a holding pattern with Sammy. And I haven't seen recent market. I'm sure as April ADP comes out and we kind of see things pick up a little more steam once we get towards closer to the draft, I think then I'll have a better idea of his value. But I think right now he's still kind of in a sweet spot because so many people were so soured on him, like you said, Eric, because yeah. of, you know, the misuse for fantasy football, but correct use for actual football. So now that makes me think maybe they found his go-to, and now he's just going to be a low volume touchdown scorer, which is good and bad, makes for big weeks usually. He might just end up becoming a best ball asset, like a high-end best ball asset. I think that might end up be where we go with him.
He's a glorified Deshaun Watson is what I'm hearing you say.
Deshaun Watson or Deshaun Jackson?
Oh, that's what I meant to say, yes. Deshaun Watson, different.
Same difference.
Different. Just, Jackson.
No, same guy.
And just to clarify, he's going, it looks like he's going in the early fourth round right now in startups.
Oh, see, I'm cool with that. I have.
I mean, what's even the risk there? It's like, right. Okay, he tanks. But yeah, I mean, Twitter's mad about him right now. So I agree. I think this might be a buy window because I don't think this signing went generally without really any hype. I haven't seen any takes that Sammy Watkins feasts in Kansas City. I've seen that Pat Mahomes is going to feast, but I have not seen any Sammy Watkins is coming for you.
Eric, you must not be following Chiefs Twitter because Chiefs Twitter either was like, oh, here's Sammy Watkins, the next Antonio Brown, or there was the Chiefs Twitter that was like, yeah, Sammy Watkins stinks and he's going to be injured.
So, yeah, I don't. To full disclosure, I do not follow Chiefs Twitter. That is.
You're not missing out.
I follow Dynasty Trades Twitter, and that takes enough of my time up. So.
It's one of the more entertaining team Twitters for what it's worth.
Okay. I don't doubt that. I just don't have time. All right. Let's move on. And the Raiders have moved on from Michael Crabtree and in the process moved on to Jordy Nelson, a man who, unless I stand corrected here, was in the second round of startups last season in the offseason. What are we doing with Jordy? What's the take here? Good God, what does it do to the rest of the receiving core? I mean, what's just the overall thoughts and implications of Jordy being here? Or does Jordy not matter anymore for Dynasty?
From a Jordy perspective, I think that it's a bit of a bump up. You know, that might sound weird going from Aaron Rodgers to Derek Carr. But it's not okay that Derek Carr is better than Aaron Rodgers. It's that we now know the future of Jordy Nelson, at least the short-term future of Jordy Nelson. Whereas, you know, a couple months ago, we're like, oh, what's going to happen with Jordy? Is going to be with Aaron Rodgers? Is going to be somewhere else? So the fact that we know where he is kind of just puts some safety to his name. And I think that, you know, he is what he is. He's a guy that you can get probably in like this – or you should be able to get in like the seventh, eighth round of startups. That's like a good win now guy that you shouldn't really plan on having on your roster in 2 years. So –
he's just to cut you off there, Nathan. It looks like he is going in the ninth round of startups right now.
I'm fine with that.
There's some big time upside for an eighth round pick. So let me preface this whole spiel with, I think I would rather have David Carr than Derek Carr. And I'm not talking about when they were drafted. I'm talking about right now. Derek Carr isn't good, but. The volume is absolutely going to be there, much like with Jameis Winston, mediocre quarterbacks, big time volume. It's going to be there. You know, as far as Amari goes, last year was an outlier. I think as a community, we were too high on him as it was. But I also don't think that we should be floundering him in the way we have. So from an Amari perspective, I think his value goes back. Not all the way to what it was because he was like top six startup picks. And I don't think he ever gets back to that. But I think late first, early second is kind of his sweet spot. And I think he goes back to producing that 1,000-yard, you know, 8-touchdown, just kind of flatline season because that's what he did his first two seasons.
But you think there's that much difference? I mean, because the difference in the offense between Jordy and Michael Crabtree is not that different, right?
No. And I'm not expecting there to be any. I just think Amari goes back to what he was doing. And I think Jordy has a reasonable chance to pick up hopefully he doesn't pick up where Crabtree left off. Hopefully he goes back to 2016 and picks up where Crabtree left off because both Crabtree and Amari were absolutely atrocious last year. So with a combination of the volume and both of these guys being actually good wide receivers, even though Jordy's a little bit slowed, I don't think he's lost his ability as a wide receiver. He's just not as explosive as he was a few years ago with a healthy Aaron Rodgers. So hopefully we can see a connection between he and Carr and they can figure out that back shoulder throw. But there's not a ton of upside with Jordy, but eighth round valuation is basically free considering you could easily have a wide receiver too.
So this is one of those things. And so I'll go back to what Ryan McDowell said on the podcast last week. I think he said it about Dez Bryant and about Demaryius Thomas, which is this asset is never going to gain value no matter how good he does. Nope. So this is one of those assets that if you're purchasing Jordy Nelson, you need to have an exit plan in if your team tanks, get rid of him cheaper than you bought him for. So it's a tough pill to stomach. And I don't know. I don't think I'm going to be a Jordy buyer and it might come back to bite me, but I don't know, 32-year-old wide receiver in a system that's brand new. The fact that the Pack weren't interested in continuing having him signed, and I think he probably would have stayed there. You know, it's something that kind of red flags are up in my eyes. I'll stay away from Jordy here. And I think it's, but I think it's interesting. And for Amari, it doesn't move the needle for me. Jordy equals Crabtree in my eyes.
Yep.
So Amari stays pretty much exactly where he's at. Okay, let's move on. And Nathan alluded to this, and this is Trey Burton has been traded to the Bears.
He has not been traded to the Bears.
I'm sorry, has been picked up by the Bears in free agency. Thank you, Nathan. Thank you. So let's talk about what that means. We kind of touched on it in the podcast last week, but the Trey Burton hype is really starting to build.
Yeah, it took a while. It took a while for it to get there. He was kind of my hidden gem coming into this free agent class because not really anybody, you know, nobody was talking about him. We got to see him a little bit with Ertz out, and he performed, and we've seen him perform in the preseason. He's you know, that you ask any of the DFS guys, and they're all like, you know, Trey Burton's the preseason king. Like, he's winning money for everybody. So we know he can perform. We know he can do it on this level. And going to a place in Chicago where they just got Allen Robinson, there's still a huge market share to be had. And, you know, Adam Shaheen's a great prospect, and you know, they spent on him last year, but I don't think, you know, I don't love it for Shaheen. Obviously, you never want to see somebody at the same position coming in and taking snaps, but this is another spot where we're seeing the NFL going more to two tight end sets. They're playing a little bigger with those guys, but they're also using them more efficiently as pass catchers. So I think Burton, like I believed with Eric Ebron, will play more of a split out wide receiver type role because that's what he can do. He's not the greatest of blockers, and we know Shaheen can block, but he can also catch the ball as well. They're both great athletes, and I think they're both still going to get kind of their what they kind of would expect to get. And again, this all goes back to Trubisky and the theory of young quarterbacks leaning on their tight ends. There's not really anything to that for those people that are thinking, oh yeah, they're just bringing in tight end for Trubisky. No, they need weapons in the offense. It's as simple as that. They got a good one in Burton.
Yeah, it's totally true.
I'm not propping him up into like high end tight end one territory or anything like that, but he's going to be relevant. He's going to score points. You can probably still get him for a decent price, but definitely don't go overpay for someone at the tight end position just because the variance is awful. Injuries are awful. Tight ends, don't overpay for him.
I don't think that Shaheen is seen as a huge roadblock by the community, but I think that he's definitely more of a concern than I was expecting. When I saw Burton on the open market and the hype surrounding him, you said there was not much hype, Dan, but certainly from Ryan McDowell and some of the others in the community definitely were interested in where he would sign. And I was kind of hoping for him to go to a more wide open situation where he could be the featured tight end one with nothing really behind him. The fact that he's going to be splitting time with Shaheen, I think that this is basically the better version of Ebron and Doyle, where this is going to end up hurting both of them to where I'm not going to really be interested in starting either of them on a weekly basis. So I don't love the move from a fantasy perspective, but Burton is going to, you know, get the more targets of the two and is going to get the more immediate targets because he is more of a veteran as well.
Yeah. This is also a cautionary lesson in sexy rookie tight ends too, that they just take a long time to develop. I mean, Trey Burton didn't develop till now. So he's like, the sex appeal is finally there when he hit free agency. So just an excellent lesson in not drafting on shallow rosters tight ends that are rookies you know, letting those guys get off of people's rosters before you go get them. Okay, let's move on. And another tight end move, and that is Jimmy Graham going to the Packers. What are our thoughts on this move? I mean, Jimmy Graham now has Aaron Rodgers throwing him the ball.
I love it from a short-term perspective. I think that Graham can enter that, you know, tight end 3 to 5 conversation from a strictly production standpoint in 2018. But I think that the Dynasty community is probably going to get a little bit too excited here. I put in the document, does this put him in the tier after Gronk conversation of Kelce, Ertz, Ingram? And I think some people end up putting him there. And if so, I am going to be trying to sell Jimmy Graham and something on top to get one of Kelce Ertz Ingram, because I would much rather have those years than having, you know, Aaron Rodgers with Jimmy Graham. So I think this becomes a selling opportunity to try and get a little bit higher on the tight end totem pole, and younger as well.
I'm on board with that take completely. I'm not even going to add to it, Nathan.
I'm going to go a step further and just I'm going to honestly ask the question. Did people not remember the last two tight ends that the Packers brought in? Martellus Bennett.
Okay, but neither of those guys are as good as Jimmy Graham. So
what about Rich Rodgers? I mean,
Green Bay doesn't use tight ends. They don't.
What about Jermichael Finley?
They've never had Jimmy Graham.
They've had guys propped up like that. Though Martellus Bennett is a very good tight end. He just happened to get hurt, but they weren't even using him when he was healthy. They didn't use Jared Cook when he was healthy. Explosive athlete, didn't use him. They don't use tight ends. The last time they had a relevant fantasy tight end was Richard Rodgers like 4 years ago, and he only scored as a low end. I think he scored as tight end 12 because he caught two Hail Mary balls that scored him like 20 points each and got him into the tight end one category. They don't use him. I have no interest in Jimmy Graham. If I have him, which I don't, I'm selling him. He's going to get way too hyped up because of Aaron Rodgers. They're going to stick with Adams and Cobb and whatever else they decide to do. I'm guessing they're going to draft a wide receiver. I'm guessing they're going to use all of those running backs to their fullest. And I just, as great as Jimmy Graham was as a Saint, and I was hoping he'd go back there, this for me does nothing. It does nothing for me at all.
So you're selling Graham if you've got him anywhere.
Oh, yeah. I don't because of the way Seattle used him so horridly. I never had any. I don't even think I had any Seattle Jimmy Graham shares. Wow, that's impressive. All my Jimmy Graham shares died with New Orleans.
Okay, well, let's move on. Let's move on real quick because this segment's dragging on a bit. and let's chat the last big move. And I'm being informed via my bullet points that Nathan isn't panicking about Derrick Henry, but this is Deion Lewis has gone to the Titans. Nathan, what's your take?
Well, believe it or not, I'm not panicking about Derrick Henry. I think that the Twitterverse just exploded. Derrick Henry's always been the type of player. It's weird, but like Twitter hates him so much. Like there's people that really like him as much as I do, but Twitter hates Derrick Henry like more than anything I've ever seen. So when Lewis signs, like RIP Derrick Henry, he's dead. Are we really overreacting this much to a guy who really hasn't stayed healthy throughout his career and hasn't ever been a featured back? He's been a satellite back with New England. So I think that certainly it caps his PPR upside in terms of he's not going to have like 40 catches in a season with Deion Lewis healthy on the team, but Henry is a good enough runner that he's going to be able to put up high-end RB2, low-end RB1 numbers, even if he doesn't get the receiving work. But I still think he'll get some receiving work, even with Deion Lewis on the team. So I don't quite understand the RIP Derrick Henry takes, but Dan hates Derrick Henry, so there you go.
Well, everybody seems to be staying in their lane with Henry. Is like, and you're absolutely right, Nathan. It's like all the people that were anti-Derrick Henry when they were like in the draft that year, in the rookie draft, have stayed there this whole time. Nobody's flip-flopped. So, and this just reinforces the people that want to believe that Henry was never going to be the guy with literally no one behind him. That would be ridiculous. The signing doesn't do much for either way, but I'm not a Derrick Henry guy, but I think I think the signing's fine, but it doesn't really impact Henry.
So we could make the assumption the writing was on the wall. DeMarco Murray was out since, I don't know, December. We in, you know, inner circles or Voxer chats or Twitter, wherever, we've been talking about the Titans need a combo back with Derrick Henry, because like you said, Nathan, great runner of the football, you know, the side to side movements, not quite all there, but he is a very good runner. I give him that. I personally started to move him up, and I was actually liking him a little bit more because I was starting to think, wow, maybe Tennessee is finally going to give him the ball. But no, they did exactly what we were thinking they were going to do by bringing in a pass catcher, by bringing in a running back who I believe is physically a better running back. Derrick Henry is more gifted as a physical specimen, and he is more punishing as a downhill runner. But he is not a better actual running back than Deion Lewis. Deion Lewis's issues are all health related, which maybe you consider that an ability, which that's silly. But I honestly think this is going to be close to a 50-50 split. And I'd like it more for Lewis because I believe he is going to end up getting all of the passing downs or the role.
He's like a Gio Bernard in that backfield.
Right, like right. Yeah, it's like a Gio and Jeremy Hill type of thing, except not the worst football player in the universe like Jeremy Hill is.
Oh, I was about to say, are you saying Gio Bernard's the worst? What is this?
No. It's the thunder and lightning.
Thunder is sad.
I mean, me saying it's going to be a 50-50 split doesn't mean that it's not going to be, you know, beneficial for both. I think both guys are going to score well. I think they're both going to score as RB2s just because that passing offense in Tennessee isn't there yet, and they need to lean on these guys. And I think that's a big reason why they brought him in. You know, you'll kill Derrick Henry by week 10 if you're giving them the ball 30 times a game. That's the worst thing you could do. I think giving each of these guys 15 touches a game or something like that, I think is going to be huge for the Titans. It's going to help them win. And again, this is more about the NFL teams. We have to try to figure out and dissect what the hell they're going to do. So I honestly believe that Lewis is, with the contract that they gave him, which I was surprised by, but I think he's going to end up doing more than Henry truthers want him to do and maybe what the community thinks he's going to do. But again, based on health, because he struggles as much as anyone.
Yep. And if he fails, they'll bring back Dexter McCluster to do that role.
Dexter McCluster drop. Yep. Holy cow.
McCluster drop. There it is. All right. I think that's going to wrap all of our kind of news version of this, talking about free agency. So on that note, let me tell you about our sponsors, the FFPC, the Fantasy Football Players Championship, the home of season-long high-stakes fantasy football. For most, it's the offseason, but not for the FFPC or the Tradecast. They now have almost 200 active dynasty leagues with entry fees starting at $77 and going all the way up to $2,500. And here's something incredible. Not a single dynasty league is folded in 8 years. Orphan Dynasty teams are available for purchase right now. Many of these are good teams ready to compete, and startup Dynasty Leagues will be forming shortly. So get your name on a wait list today. Plus, if you're ready to draft now, the FFPC Best Ball League will be opening for 2018 in a few days, starting at just $35 entry fees. So don't miss the FFPC experience. Go to myffpc.com. Register now. That's myffpc.com, the home of season-long high-stakes fantasy football.
All right, Eric, one thing before we begin Dynasty Courtroom. I have a public service announcement for people who play Devy Dynasty Fantasy Football. Cal wide receiver Demetrius Robertson. His name is not Demetrius Robertson. We're not doing this with Martavius like we did, or Devontae's, Devontae's. Demetrius, D-E-M-E-T-R-I-S, not Demetrius. Demetrius.
What is this? Is this for like two people on Twitter? Who are you telling this to?
No, I've seen it hundreds of times.
Hundreds. Okay. What, on Russell Clay's timeline? Who is misspelling this for you?
Oh, man.
All right. Well, that's probably getting cut from the show. Let's get in the courtroom.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Now entering the courtroom, the judge, Nathan Powell.
Hello. How are you fellas doing today? I am excited for this court case today. It's a very controversial one on the Twitters. Today we have Dan Sanyo defending Jerick McKinnon, newly of the San Francisco 49ers, and Evan Engram of the New York Giants, and the 108, and defending for Eric is Devonta Freeman, Kyle Rudolph, and the 109. So we got the 108 and 109 involved here. Very controversial takes. Eric Bertzlaff, present your case.
All right, well, let me tell you my side and why it's important. And actually, before I get too far into this, let me remind everybody that's listening to this right now over the interwebs that this is where we talk about two trades, and we, as lawyers, try to sell them to the judge, and the judge decides the trades. It's basically a glorified way of talking about trades on the show. So my side of the trade, now that I've told all the listeners what's going on, because I forgot to do it in the segment, so now I have to do it with an accent, I've got Devontae Freeman, who's just super depressed value, just super depressed. And I'm dealing with maybe the most upgraded valuation of anybody in free agency, and that is Jerick McKinnon. Now, Jerick McKinnon, Devonta Freeman, very similar, very, very similar. And I would even say Freeman is significantly higher. But right now in valuations, ooh, McKinnon's everything. McKinnon's everything. He was 105. There it is. And Freeman's right around there. He's right around that valuation. So, you know, on Twitter, this trade seems very, very even, especially with how much the love for McKinnon is. But I'm going to fight the McKinnon love. And I know my other lawyer over there, Sanio, ain't going to do that. He's going to try to tell you, oh, McKinnon's amazing. Oh, Shanahan's done all this. Oh, it's going to be awesome. But it's not the case. It ain't the case. That's all crap. So Freeman, to me, is better than McKinnon. And Ingram, slightly better than Rudolph. And the 108, slightly better than the 109. It's a push, slight advantage to Freeman. What's up?
I should have just let you present my case for me, Mr. Bertholdt. You brought up Shanahan. Well, so let's start there. Do you remember when Devonta Freeman used to be good when he had Kyle Shanahan?
Used to be. My client resents that.
Well, guess who has Kyle Shanahan now? That's right. New RB1, Jerick McKinnon. I'm not saying the RB1. I'm giving him a tier. You know, top 12. Let's even stretch it to top 15, because that's where he's going to be. Even with this incoming rookie class, this man, he knows what he's doing. He's not the 98th percentile spark, or, you know, top athlete. He's not the 99th percentile, you know, spark, top athlete, whatever you want to call it. He's the 100th percentile spark athlete.
That was cool. So Cordero Patterson is just fill him right in there. That should be perfect.
You cannot match him. You can't.
Cool.
And
Jeff Janis, too. Let's do it. Why not just throw everybody in that bucket?
You know what's different, though, Mr. Bertzloff, is we've been able to see this young man perform. The other two guys that you mentioned are schmucks. They aren't even worth roster spots. And we've seen a coach bang tables for running backs, and now he went and spent
money.
What
about Joe Williams?
Jerick McKinnon. So I agree with you. I don't think there's a big gap between Jerick McKinnon and Devonta Freeman. I'm going to say that they're almost dead even. The big difference in this trade is not the 108 and the 109, because those are a wash. The big difference in this trade is Evan Ingram and Kyle Rudolph. And I like me some Kyle Rudolph. Don't get me wrong. I like that big purple SOB. But
SOB? He's not purple.
He wears purple, sir?
He wears purple. You're not a blue SOB because you're wearing blue.
He is, in fact, purple. But Evan Ingram is fantastic. We're talking about not quite the Gronk tier, but high-end, tight-end one. This kid showed it all year last year, and some people are going to say, well, he did it without Odell. Well, guess what? I don't know that we're going to see much of Odell. He's got some issues going on right now. We're not going to bring that up, but he's struggling. So I think this is pretty clearly a big gap between Ingram and Rudolph. And I think, Judge, I think you are wise and you will rule in favor of the correct side.
Order, order, order in my courtroom today. This is how I see this trade. I think that there's a higher variance on the side of McKinnon and Ingram, simply because the Niners could invest a top 60, top 100 draft pick, and that would severely hurt McKinnon's value at the running back position. But as it stands today, I think that with the contract they gave him, he kind of slates to get 15 to 20 carries, even if they do bring in the fourth or fifth round running back. So I'm going to go with the higher variance side. It could end up losing out. If they invest highly at running back, then I would obviously side with Freeman. But for now, I will take the explosive Evan Ingram and McKinnon with the Shanahan offense.
I knew you'd do it. I knew you would, and I knew you'd be wrong. So
don't question him.
Yeah, well, it's hot crap.
Now entering the courtroom, Judge Dan Sanyo.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm glad you all could be here today. We've got a very important case to discuss, and we'll, let's just dive right into it. My defendant over here, Mr. Eric Bertzlaff, will be siding with Julio Jones and Jimmy Graham. And then the other guy over here, who most of the time we can't even understand, his side is Dalvin Cook, Jordan Reed, and the 108, and that would be Mr. Nathan Powell. Nathan, even though I offended you because no one can ever understand what you're saying, usually because your voice cuts in and out, why don't you go ahead and start with your defense?
Imagine a world where in 2014 you could have traded Calvin Johnson for Todd Gurley. That sounds nice right about now, doesn't it? Trading Calvin Johnson for Todd Gurley. Julio Jones is the most likely wide receiver to turn into the Calvin Johnson early career wide receiver retirement due to the fact that he's had so many injuries throughout the years. So I think he retires early, and I think Dalvin Cook ends up being the supreme asset in the near future. And then we look at Jimmy Graham versus Jordan Reed in the 108. Personally, I don't care about Jordan Reed. He is purely an upside play at this point. So if we're looking at 108 versus Jimmy Graham, even with the Aaron Rodgers pairing, I'm taking the 108 over every tight end that's not named Gronk, Ertz, Kelce, or Gronk, Ertz, Kelce.
See, you can't even remember anything.
Who's the other tight end?
Evan Engram.
Evan Engram. There you go.
Womp womp.
All right, well, that was scrambled.
I was about to say, is he done? Is that the end of that?
We're going to cut him off. Bailiff, could you remove him just for the time being? I'd like to hear Mr. Bertzlaff and what he has to say without interruption and ridiculousness.
Gets a new microphone and has a stroke. That's not surprising. All right. let's go ahead and talk about my side, which is two proven assets. And two older assets that Twitter hates. Twitter hates these assets. So Julio, let's go ahead and talk about his valuation. In my opinion, Julio is worth this entire other side. Reed is – his value is tumbling. Cook plus the 108 equals a late first-round startup in my eyes. Dalvin Cook's going in, what, the middle of the first – in the middle of the second round right now. Now, granted, is the valuation going to keep falling? Yeah, sure. But right now, Julio Jones and Jimmy Graham give you immense upside to win. Now, I'll preface this by saying if your team was rebuilding, maybe Nathan's side's right, but it's still a wash. You can still move Julio for more than this. The Julio side to me is an easy win.
Okay, well, I want to thank you both for being as respectable as possible. Well, Eric, at least.
Yep.
And I think this is closer than any other judgment I've had to make today, considering it's the first one that's not saying a whole lot.
And the last one.
But I am going to rule in favor of Nathan Powell only because Julio does scare me and Jimmy Graham is a bum.
Oh, that is highly frustrating. Now introduce me as the judge.
Now entering the courtroom, the Honorable Judge Eric Bertzlaff.
See, now if you listen closely, the judge in the previous one is my B because he just introduced me. So that's great. Now I've got Dan and Nathan joining me again. We don't have any guests, so I'm going to have to listen to them bicker more. I'll just go ahead and kick to these guys to tell you their sides.
All right. Go ahead, Nathan. No, you go ahead. No, you go ahead. No, I don't want your microphone to cut out. You go ahead.
I'll paint the picture story for you, friends. This is a trade made in the Dynasty Tradecast Listener Best Ball League. Nathan traded the 101, also known as Saquon Barkley.
Maybe.
Something called an Elijah McGuire. For Mike Evans, Tyler Boyd, a 2019 sixth, and a 2020 sixth. And just to give a little bit background on this league, sixth round picks are basically free agent picks in August. So like the likes of like Chris Carson and Thomas Rawls a few years ago, basically all the bad Seattle running backs end up being 2016 sixth round picks. So basically it's some shots in the dark and Evans in exchange for Barkley and Boyd. I'll start by defending my case. Just other than the supreme assets here, I do prefer Boyd to McGuire. I kind of consider Boyd dead and buried from a fantasy perspective, but he did have that miraculous win against the Ravens to give the Bills a playoff spot, so that was fun. Maybe the Bengals will try and get him more involved in his third year in the NFL. But bare bones, this comes down to Mike Evans versus Saquon Barkley. And my side, I'm getting a guy who has been a proven wide receiver one at the NFL level, a guy who's going to be funneled with targets throughout his career, and a guy who I just consider a much safer a player than Saquon Barkley or the 101 is as a prospect. So I think there's always risk involved in a running back before he enters the NFL. So I'll take the guy who is a proven wide receiver one.
So before I start stating my case, I'd like to ask Mr. Powell a question, if I may. So drafting Mike Evans at 102 in a dynasty startup is safe considering the way he scores? Question mark?
Objection. Wait, that has
nothing to do with Saquon Barkley. I'm not taking Saquon Barkley at the 102 either.
Nope, I'm just asking. Just asking. Okay, so let's dive into my side. Before we talk about the 101 portion for Evans, I will say that my day started out with a separate trade for Evans because I knew that was the only way I could get the 101 from Nathan was with Evans, and I would prefer Saquon to Evans at this point. So my day started out with a Sterling Shepard and two future firsts for Mike Evans, which I found to be a good value. So with that in mind, I technically traded Sterling Shepard, two future firsts, Tyler Boyd, and two worthless picks for the 101. And with that valuation, I'm more than happy. And because I'm probably lower than Mike Evans, on Mike Evans than everyone here, only because he's not all that fantastic. I understand he just got a big fancy new contract, but he's so inconsistent. He's got an absolutely terrible quarterback. I guess he's not the super most terrible. He's no Blake Bortles. And like Nathan said, the volume's going to be there. Absolutely.
Dan, you're meandering on the point, man. On the point.
I don't trust Mike Evans, and Saquon Barkley is the man. This is going to be one of my two shares of Saquon, and I had to lock one in, and I really just wanted to deal with Nathan because I like him.
Order, quit talking about yourself and your teams and your shares. Sometimes you just got to bang the Coors Light against the table and make a decision is what I say. And those are words to live by, kids. you know, this one is a stretch for Dan's side. Evans is pretty much universally, and as a man who doesn't really like Evans, universally accepted as being worth more than the 101. And that's ultimately what we're talking about here. Now, granted, you threw in Nathan Fodder and Tyler Boyd, because I know Nathan goes those Nathan pals go crazy.
Oh, yeah.
If there was Nathan's Gone Wild, a video, they'd just be dangling Tyler Boyd's out there. I have to side with Nathan's side on this one. Evans is across the board worth more than the 101. Now, granted, there's risk, but what doesn't have risk? The 101, Saquon Barkley, doesn't have risk coming into the NFL? Get out of here. I will take Evans. I will take that side pretty handily, and I award this one to Nathan, and bang the Coors Light some more.
Woo! If I do reckon, I won both cases I presented, so no big deal.
And I lost both.
So. Yep.
Hooray. Okay, well, that has been another wonderful, magical edition of the Dynasty Tradecast. I'd like to thank Nathan for being here without static or terrible audio. And I'd like to remind the listeners that if you like Nathan's audio being good and you thought to yourself, man, this show is good when all three hosts talk well into without internet issues, then I implore you to leave a 5-star rating and review and check out our sponsor, myffpc.com. 5-star rating reviews on iTunes help listeners find us. For Nathan, Dan, myself, and these Coors Lights, we will catch up with you guys next week.